heard that song because you're too young. That is from The Zombies that were back in the late 60s called Time of the Season. Now, what we know from that is we know that zombies can sing. Do we not? Now, they were singing Time of the Season, which may have more to it than just the title. The question then becomes, can zombies dance as well as sing? And I think I'm going to go looking because I am. So just be still. Okay. I found these zombies on the street, and I thought I'd get them off the street so they don't scare anybody. So I'm going to make them sit down over there, and they should be okay because they're really more dead than alive anyway. So,
here.
Just don't bite me.
Over here.
Yeah. Maybe we should pray for the message. Oh, Lord, I ask that you would give life to this message and not just our human life. I know there are words on a page and it's just put together, but I pray that you would also touch your spirit to our spirits and bring us alive if you need to, if we are dead in our sins. And I ask that you would bless this message with life. For it's dead without you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may have noticed that the latest craze or obsession out there is zombies. They are everywhere. This stuff started coming my way. Oh, by the way, these are high schoolers. I have something for you. This is not your normal zombie survival guide. This is the zombie apocalypse survival guide for teenagers. Anyway, they're everywhere. Bill O'Reilly had an article in the newspaper, and he was talking about the Walking Dead, and he thought they were talking about Congress. Recently in our paper, Herald Review, there were a couple of articles on zombies. One was entitled, Zombie Show Raises Ghost Town from the Dead, which was about the filming of The Walking Dead down in Grantville, Georgia. There was another one called The Dead Have Their Day, in which the AMC TV series The Walking Dead was being discussed. There was also an article in a recent newspaper called When Are the Dead Undead? And it was about a man who had been declared dead in Findlay, Ohio. He was declared dead in 1994, but he turned up in 2005 trying to get his Social Security number reinstated and a driver's license. And the judge said, "We've got the obvious here. A man sitting in the courtroom, he appears to be in good health. But the time limit of 3 years has passed to undo his death." And the judge said, "I don't know where that leaves you, but you're still deceased as far as the law is concerned." I guess he was undead, or is undead. When Mozart passed away, he was buried in a churchyard, and a couple of days later, the town drunk was walking through the cemetery, and he heard some strange noises coming from the area where Mozart had been buried. And he was terrified. He ran and got the priest to come and listen to it, and the priest bent close to the grave, and he heard some faint, unrecognizable music coming from the grave. He was scared, so he went and got one of the city magistrates, and when the magistrate arrived, he bent down and he listened, and he said, "Oh, that's Mozart's Ninth Symphony that's playing, but it's being played backwards." And he kept listening, and he said, "Hey, there's the Eighth Symphony, and it's backwards." Most puzzling. So the magistrate kept listening, and the Seventh went by, the Sixth Symphony, the Fifth Symphony. Suddenly the realization of what was really happening came to him, and he stood up and he announced to the crowd that again, "Don't worry, my fellow citizens, there's nothing to worry about here. It's just Mozart decomposing." I was trying to figure out how to work that into this sermon, so there. There are so many zombie movies on some kind of zombie apocalypse like out there right now, like World War Z and Zombieland, and there's a movie called Warm Bodies, and it's been such a thing that the Mythbusters, did anybody here watch them, just did a program on myth-busting on zombies. We even have a few commercials that use zombies as eye catchers to buy phone service.
Can I help you?
Excuse me. Hi. I wanted to find out about the unlimited for life guarantee.
Sure. Sprint is guaranteeing unlimited talk, text, and data for life.
Cool. And what if, say, technically you were not alive? Like, maybe you were undead?
Like a zombie.
Whoa. Let's not go putting labels on people. I'm a zombie.
It actually really got started back in the 1960s with the cult classic Night of the Living Dead. Now, in that movie, there's a news flash that comes across the TV screen that sets the stage for the rising of the undead zombies.
I think we have some late word just arriving, and I'll interrupt to bring this to you. This is the latest disclosure in a report from National Civil Defense Headquarters in Washington. It has been established that persons who have recently died have been returning to life and committing acts of murder. A widespread investigation of reports from funeral homes, morgues, and hospitals has concluded that the unburied dead are coming back to life and seeking human victims. It's hard for us here to believe what we're reporting to you, but it does seem to be a fact.
The poor people were trapped and they are having trouble with zombies, the walking dead, or maybe better described as the undead. Now we know that the dead are supposed to rise in the second coming of Christ at the end of times. In fact, in Ezekiel 37:13, it says so. If you'll put that one up there and read it with me. "And you shall know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people." Now, Martha Mary's sister affirms the very same thing to Jesus when she's talking about Lazarus, when she says it in John 11:24. Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Now, to tell you the truth, I kind of stand, when you look at Ezekiel 37:13, he's going to open the graves and bring them back to life, and what Martha says, I kind of stand with Herschel in the Walking Dead series. How many of you have seen these? You remember this? I don't think God meant a zombie apocalypse. This is what Herschel said.
"Please, keep your boy safe. I'll hide in one of the cars if a walker gets me, so be it. I've lost my farm. I've lost my wife, maybe my daughters."
"Don't know that. They'll be here."
"And you don't know that."
"You're a man of God. Have some faith."
"I can't profess to understand God's plan. But Christ promised the resurrection of the dead. I just thought he had something a little different in mind."
Now, zombies look like us on the outside, but they're dead on the inside, empty of that elusive, indefinable property, life. They look like us, so how do you know when you see one? Well, there are some defining points that I've discerned. They're stiff, for one thing, because they really are stiffs. They are undead, walking around with no brains, and you can't kill them either. Come to think of it, this may not be a defining point because there are lots of people walking around with no brains, and you can't kill them either. Second, zombies usually travel in groups or crowds because they don't think or feel for themselves. But then again, have you ever been to a KISS concert? Once again, this may not be a real defining point here. The undead are everywhere. I once went to an Alice Cooper concert. Let me tell you, the dead were all around me. Thirdly, zombies feed on the living. Being dead, they hunger for life, the body and blood of the living. But you know, Jesus talked about eating his body and blood, and in the Gospel of John, Jesus talks about us eating the Son of Man, and this is really in the Bible. Read with me when it comes up here. "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." Sounds like we're zombies of a sort, doesn't it? Actually, it probably is the basis for all these zombie movies in a perverted sort of way. There are three kinds of zombies envisioned by people. The first is the classic Hollywood movie zombie. They usually have been animated by some kind of space radiation or something like that. The second is the voodoo zombie, which is a soulless body revived from the dead and made to work as a slave. In Haiti, the zombie is the snake deity that inhabits the dead. The third kind of zombie is philosophical or theological in nature. It is a human being that behaves like us but goes through life without really living, without a conscious experience. Basically, people who walk around with no brains and are just living, eating, and have no real purpose in life and no identity as people. Now, of course, if you check on me, especially the first hour I'm awake, I kind of fit that definition. I'm just running on autopilot at that point in time. But you know what? If you look around in our society, things happen to us. We get worried, we're afraid, we're ashamed, we get hurt psychologically, physically, we're ashamed, we're insecure, we get beat down as people. And then I tell you what, we can all turn into zombies. We kind of hit the autopilot, so to speak, and go through the motions. We are disengaged, we are disconnected from other people in the world. We end up being self-absorbed, not living with any real thought at all. And maybe all these movies and TV series are really about the fact that we are really so afraid of turning into zombies. I think some people run from some churches because they feel surrounded by a group of empty-headed, non-thinking, stiff people who want to suck the life out of you. Now, I've been to churches like that. Maybe some people run from church because they have this strong suspicion that what God really wants us to be is zombies. Kind of like unthinking robots. You know, we're unfeeling. We're just kind of slaves to do His unthinking, dispassionate will in this world. And so we just walk around like zombies. One preacher was asked, "Do the dead live?" And he snapped back, "They sure do. All I have to do is come down to my elders' meeting. You can see the proof of it." I recently attended a presbytery meeting, which is the meeting of Presbyterian churches in the area. Now, it's my idea of hell on earth, actually. And this meeting was self-reflective in nature. It was kind of like get to know one another kind of meeting as we looked at ourselves as churches. And the leadership of this meeting, they were describing themselves as the frozen chosen. Sounded like zombies to me. Frozen, chosen, stiffs, dead people. Then we sat around, we were asked to describe our churches in one sentence, kind of get to know you and everything like that. We went around the room, and one church, Gospel Truth, described itself as coming back to life. And I thought to myself, that means you're zombies. And as I sat there, I thought, what a great example for this message. By the way, when I was asked to describe us as a church, I said, well, and I got this from a person at a closing, we're not normal. Yeah. Well, if we are in danger all the time of being like zombies as a church, we need to look to Jesus for life. Because we're all in danger of being zombies. In fact, we are zombies right now, some of us, I expect. In the first chapter of John, we hear where he talks about Jesus. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. In other words, we get our life from Jesus. Now, without Him, we are dead in our sins, or should I say undead in our sins. In fact, throughout the Bible, there are references to the undead, those who have physical life but are spiritually dead. I've got Ephesians chapter 2 and then Colossians chapter 3 scriptures strung together here, and read them with me. Here we go. "And you He made alive when you were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once walked." That's walking dead, by the way. "But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses. Undead in our sins. We also know that it is God the Father who raises the dead, and Jesus gives us life. Read with me John 5:21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom He will. So we have a biblical witness that people are walking around dead in their sins all around us. And maybe, dare I say it, some of us right here. Now, this message today is about coming alive spiritually. I want to tell you a secret. And I know that as I give today's message, I'm kind of like that kid in The Sixth Sense who saw dead people.
I want to tell you my secret now.
Dreams? While you're awake? Dead people like in graves and coffins?
Walking around like regular people. We don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't know they're dead.
When do you see them?
All the time.
I see dead people. I see dead people. But they don't know they're dead. Are you dead or alive? Of course, if you are dead, you don't know it. That's the thing about dead people, spiritually speaking. They don't know it. And just like the kid said, the other thing about dead people is that they look just like us, and unless you are alive, you don't know which ones are really dead. Just like in Weekend at Bernie's, all the people thought he was alive, but he wasn't alive, and the only ones that knew he was dead were the ones who were given the gift of sight. That's Bernie and Blue.
Gotta move your workout till late tomorrow afternoon, B. Liza's made it over for the weekend, and I had to give her your regular time. Thanks, Klaus. I got it.
See you, Buck.
Yeah. Ah. Feels good, eh, Bern? You're really loose. Never seen you this relaxed before. Keep it up, huh? I gotta go. Duty calls. Hey, babes. Get busy.
Hi, Bernie. I hear you've got something for me. A little present. Playing games, are we? It's gotta be in here somewhere. I think I found something. Thanks a lot, buddy.
Doesn't anyone realize he's dead?
You gotta have some sight. You know, I was a zombie back about the same time the movie Night of the Living Dead came out and the music group The Zombies were singing Time of the Season. I was born into a Christian home and I had parents who lived the authentic Christian life, not just religion or church. I had parents who lived it, the real thing. My mother was God's grace. She was there when I needed her. She supported me. She fed me. She changed my diapers. She loved me even before I knew her name, Mom. She was God's grace. My dad, on the other hand, was God's truth. He came with power and strength and wisdom, and he was a little man who packed a punch, and he spoke God's truth to me and many others. Whether you wanted to hear it or not, My father had one message, but I can tell you if I heard it once, I heard it 1,000 times. Now, he may have said it a little bit different each time he did it, but the message was always the same. Son, if you really want to live, and I could say in this context, live and not be a zombie, you must recognize and repent of your sins and accept Jesus as your Savior and make Him Lord of your life. Now, it usually took him a little bit longer than that to say it, and I have to admit that it was usually after I'd gotten into trouble, so it was said with quite a bit of flair, and I was a captured audience. The power of life was in these little sermons that he gave me, but I was spiritually undead. I was a zombie. Sometimes I would feel a little twinge of life, but most of the time I just turned a deaf ear. I was dead, spiritually speaking. A zombie. I was the walking dead. And I sat in a church like you are right now. That's why I know I see dead people. That's why I know. Jesus even talks about church people being zombies. You see, we can play at this game of religion, which we call church, and we can still be dead in our sins. One time, Jesus warned the good church people that they were nothing but zombies. Read with me Matthew 23, verses 27 and 28. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which outwardly appear beautiful, but within they are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Not only are these good church people zombies, the walking dead, beautiful on the outside, but dead on the inside, but they also recruit other people who are secular zombies to become religious zombies. Read with me Matthew 23:15. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you traverse sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves. What they did is they would recruit other zombies to join their group, secular zombies. And they would make them religious zombies. I believe in the church. She is God's creation, but I also grew up in church. And I know that I was dead spiritually most of that time while I was growing up. I was a zombie sitting in church. Now, I make my living doing church, and I know how to play church as well as the next guy, so I am really afraid of religious zombies more than the secular zombies out there on the streets. I also want to guard myself from being a religious zombie, because if one of them bites you or me, you can end up becoming a religious zombie. You see, it was the religious zombies that killed Jesus. Anyway, back to my zombie years. My father was a dentist. He used to witness to the people that he worked on. When I was growing up, I used to work in his office as a dental assistant. This is before OSHA got involved. Running those suctions that clean out your mouth while the dentist is working on you. Now, you know what I'm talking about. If you've ever sat there in one of those chairs with that guy working on you or gal working on you. My dad would fill their mouths with all this junk, and then he would start, "What do you think of Jesus Christ?" Then it would be all this stuff hanging out of their mouth, and they would mutter something to him. Then he would get going. You talk about embarrassing to a young zombie like myself in high school whose father would do this? You know, you have to accept Jesus as your Savior if you want to live life. There is no other way. He would go on and on. And you talk about a captured audience, and this young zombie wanted to crawl into a hole. He would have their undivided attention. You're going to listen to somebody who is about to drill a hole in you. And he would witness to his faith, and I would listen, but I was spiritually dead. Or shall I say, undead. Literally a zombie. This went on for years. I never bought it. I wasn't bad or abnormal. God was speaking to me through my father, but I did not respond. I was undead. I went away to college a zombie with no spiritual life. I went to church, but there was no meaning or power for me because I was undead or dead. And that's why I know I see dead people in church. I was actually kind of like the young guy in the movie Warm Bodies. Now, Warm Bodies is another zombie movie, but it's cute. And it's a love story of sorts. But this is how the movie starts.
What am I doing with my life? I'm so pale. I should get out more. I should eat better. My posture is terrible. I should stand up straighter. People would respect me more if I stood up straighter. What's wrong with me? I just want to connect. Why can't I connect with people? Oh, right. It's because I'm dead. I shouldn't be so hard on myself. I mean, we're all dead. This girl's dead. That guy's dead. That guy in the corner is definitely dead. Jesus, these guys look awful. I wish I could introduce myself, but I don't remember my name anymore. I mean, I think it started with an R, but that's all I have left. I can't remember my name, or my parents, or my job, although my hoodie would suggest I was unemployed. Sometimes I look at the others and try to imagine what they were. You were a janitor.
Sitting here in limbo.
You were the rich son of a corporate CEO. You were a personal trainer.
Sitting here in limbo.
And now you're a corpse. I have a hard time piecing together how this whole apocalypse thing happened. Could have been chemical warfare, or an airborne virus, or a radioactive outbreak monkey. But it doesn't really matter. This is what we are now. This is a typical day for me. I shuffle around, occasionally bumping into people. Unable to apologize or say much of anything. It must have been so much better before, when everyone could express themselves and communicate their feelings and just enjoy each other's company. A lot of us have made our home here at this airport. I don't know why. People wait at airports, I guess, but I'm not sure what we're all waiting for.
You know, if you notice in this clip, all the people, when it's normal in that airport, they're all using cell phones. I'm not sure that isn't what really turns us into zombies anyway. Because I see people sitting together and they're not looking at each other, they're not talking to each other, just looking at this piece of equipment. I was kind of like this guy in this movie. I knew things weren't exactly right in my lack of life, but for the life of me, I didn't know what the problem was. I would come home from college, go to church in the summer, but I know I was a zombie in the church. Between my second and third years of college, I came home in the summer, I did what I've been doing all my life. I went to work at my dad's office, but I only worked half a day because the rest of the day my dad had something else for me to do. Now, he was a sly dog. This is the gospel truth. He paid me 50 cents more an hour to read the Bible than to work at the office. And back then, a dollar was worth much more than it is today. 50 cents was a lot of money back in the 60s. You could buy 3 gallons of gas with it. You could buy 2 packs of cigarettes with it. You could get 5 McDonald's hamburgers with it. Being the young capitalist that I was in need of money for dates and poker games and gas and cigarettes and dare I say it, beer, I took him up on it. The funny thing is, maybe it's the irony of God. I'm still getting paid to read the Bible. Well, anyway, one day I was reading Matthew and the story of how Jesus died, and the reason he died was for me. Not you, not the world, but for me. Revelation happened then. At that moment, the Holy Spirit hit me right between the eyes. The Holy Spirit touched my spirit, knocked me to my knees, and I came to life. spiritually speaking. God in His time had brought me to life and opened my eyes, and I recognized my undead condition as I came to life. It's kind of like Bruce Willis in The Sixth Sense when he realized that he was dead at the end of that movie.
Why did you leave me?
I didn't leave you.
He recognized the fact that he was really dead. Well, I did too. No longer, though, was I dead, or should I say undead. On that day, I came to life, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I resolved on that day to be His servant. Not to be His minister, that would come later, but to be His man in the world. God on that day breathed His Holy Spirit into me. I came to life spiritually. And since that day, I have been walking and dancing with zombies, the spiritually undead. And they don't even know it because they see what they want to see. When Jesus died on the cross, He satisfied justice for all. He took our death. He gave us life as a gift. The zombies crucified Him, but the night before, He took the bread and He broke it and He said, "This is my body given for you." He took the cup and He said, "This is my blood poured out for you." As the scripture in John chapter 6 says, that's real scripture, "Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you." I want to close with a prophetic scripture from the book of Ezekiel. It's about the valley of the dry bones. Let's read it together. "The hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones, and He led me around among them. And behold, there were very many upon the valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said to me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I answered, 'O Lord God, Thou knowest.' Again He said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will cause flesh to come upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord.'" May this prophetic scripture be heard today, and may it breathe life into those who are dead. This is the word of the Lord for you, and my prayer is that for zombies who happen to hear this message, it would breathe life into you, and you would rise from your graves, and there would be a great awakening. Come, Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Lord, in the midst of life, there is much death. In the midst of our lives, sometimes we are dead in the spirit dead in our sins. Lord, I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, that you would touch our spirits with your Spirit and bring us to life as your people. In Jesus' name.